Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
It is a blessing to be sharing with you this morning, not just those who are here in the sanctuary, but also those that are tuning in to iChurch this morning, streaming in English and in Spanish live. We want to welcome back our interpreter, Alex Jancic, who, yes, he is behind the glass, but it's a blessing. We've been praying for him. He and his family has been traveling through the Czech Republic. They were also in France, Canada, and he kept sending these pictures every Sunday while he was gone, that no matter where he was in the world, he was tuning in at 3CLA. So we thank him for that. If you will turn into your Bibles or your electronic devices to John. And if you are a Hebrew scholar, we use his Hebrew name, Yohanan, the 14th chapter. This is an apostle said it earlier during communion, this is a terrible world that we are living in today. That's why he saw a need for Yeshua to come, to give an opportunity to redeem those who wanted redemption, wanted to be able to achieve salvation in all of the craziness that goes on in the world. And so even we use the true Hebrew name Yeshua, many of you have known the name to be Jesus, but that name Jesus did not come until 1611. So prior to 1611, what were they calling him? The name was given by Yahweh, God, to Mary and Joseph and said, you're going to have a child and you're going to call his name Yeshua, because he will save the people, what? From their sins. And the name Yeshua actually means he will save, he will deliver, he will rescue. So that's what we're doing. We're talking about the Savior who has rescued us and who has come to rescue this world. If they choose him, if they receive him, so you who have received him, why are you saved? I've heard a plethora of things. Well, I want to be saved because I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved because I want to be blessed. You should be wanting to be saved because you acknowledge the sins in your life, the destruction, and you say, hey, you know what? I want to receive a Savior that can heal, that can deliver, that can save me. And so that's why we're in this. I'm into this because he first loved me. He didn't have to love a wretched person like me. And some of y'all was wretched too. Not only wretched, you was ratchet. But he still, in his love and grace and mercy, saved your soul. Anybody transformed this morning? That's all I want to know. So we have a responsibility to share this gospel. And I don't think that there's any other one that we can look to overall than Yeshua, because he came down here and walked this thing out. He walked it out. He was a demonstrator. And so if we go to the 14th chapter of Yohanan, the 12th verse, he says this: "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do." Now, first of all, if anybody knows anything about Bibles, if it's written in red, it's the Savior talking. It's Yeshua talking. So he's saying, hey, I'm saying this to you. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Who is the he? Somebody say she. Tell your neighbor, that's you. That's y'all. That's us. He says to us, we that believe on him. And when we look up the word believe, we see something very special about it. It's from the Greek word pistou. Somebody say pistou. And in pistou, it means that, breaking this down into three phases, you've bought into the faith, meaning that you're receiving this. You receive the fact that he died and was buried and he rose again on the third day in victory. The question is, do you believe that? He rose with power in his hand. Do you believe that? So therefore, if you believe that, you have accepted this walk. What does that mean? You've accepted this way of living. You've accepted this lifestyle. You came out of an old way of walking and thinking. And I don't mean walking as far as physically, but I mean spiritually. Your life, your decisions that you make, right? So if you're truly believing, you need to follow, you need to match up to all three, not just one. But if you're a true believer, somebody say true believer. See, there's a lot of people out there that say they believe. But I'm with the old group from the 90s called Brownstone. And they had a song that said, if you love me, say it. If you love me, show it. If you love me. Oh, I got some 90s folks up in here. Say it, show it, prove it. Hallelujah. That's what y'all were saying. Don't just give me your lip service. Don't just talk a good talk. You know, I mean, we've all been con artists in our time. What is a con artist? You say some stuff, you know, that you don't really mean. You act a certain way that you're not really sincere. You not committing. Brothers, we know how to be con men. Somebody's conning right now. You saying stuff, you making promises in relationship. Stop acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, brothers, you had to smooth the way you would say stuff because you wanted to. Somebody said it. Up to no good. Baby, I love you. You know I love you, baby. You didn't even say love. You say love. Because Because in your mind, you're like, I'm saying love, L-U-H. Because if I say love, is she going to think I'm saying love, but I'm not really lying to her. I don't love her, but I love her. Love is below. It's below love, but it's a little bit more than like. So you've created this way, but he's like, no, 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 no. You got to pass this test. He that believeth in me, not just saying it, but you got to have bought into this faith, meaning that you've received this way, you're going to live this way, you've accepted the fact that you're going to do this walk. Doing this walk means obedience to his word. Amen. You trust that this way is true, because you know whatever your God is saying to you is true. So therefore, whatever he says to you, you trust it. You put your faith in it, and you're not sitting around asking questions. Well, why God? Why God? Why? Come on now. If you trust somebody, you're just gonna what? That's why you got to be careful who you put your trust in. I love y'all. Well, I love y'all, but I can't put my trust in y'all. I got to put my trust in him. Because I know he ain't going to let me down. Anybody been let down by folks? God. I mean, I can write books. I can write encyclopedias about how folks have let me down. No, does anybody know what an encyclopedia is anymore? Do we use encyclopedias anymore? We used to have encyclopedia. It was like 30 books. Beautiful books. It was sets, right? I remember it was in elementary school, and I used to write book reports and stuff. And the teacher would be like, use the encyclopedia, huh? Yeah, word for word almost. But this little encyclopedia is just volumes. I could write them because I know the hurt that I've experienced. But I serve a God that he's not passing out hurt. He's only passing out healing. Therefore, I trust him. I trust him with my life. See, because some of y'all have lived a certain life, and you know that it's led you to all kind of heartache, all kind of depression, all kind of stuff. And so what you're doing in this process, you're saying, you know what, God, I have lived my life the way I thought it should be lived out, and I have not lived it successfully. I'm coming to a point in my life that I want you to lead my life. I want you to guide my life. I want you to direct it. So I put my life in your hands. You trust this way is true. You're not just trying it out for a few days. You're not just saying, let me see if this thing works. Number three says you're committed. That means that no matter what, you're sticking to him. That's my God, and I'm sticking with him. Right? Three, you've bought into the life, accepted the walk. Two, you trust this way is true. Three, you're committed. Only then can you be called a true believer. Anybody, any true believers? The word says the Father is seeking a certain kind of worshiper. The Father is seeking. What does that mean? There's a lot of folks out there that call themselves worshipers, believers, that they're serving, but he's saying, I know that there's a lot of people that profess me, but I'm looking for the true ones. He says the Father is seeking the true worshipers that will worship him in spirit. So that's where we are. I'm bringing you back up. So therefore, when we go back to the verse, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I don't expect to be able to do the works that he does unless you truly. That's what we're trying to get to in this life. We got too many fakers and shakers in this life. We got too many people that only want to put this on when it's convenient, and when things get rough, they take it off. That's the time, when things get rough, it's the time that you got to keep that thing on and not pull it on, pull it close to you. Tell your neighbor, those are the times. I see people, just because they've gone through some trials and a few tribulations, they're ready to give up. That's why we preach this gospel, that you hold on to it. So therefore, when it comes a time that you need it, you need it. Well, you need it every day, whether you realize it or not. So he says this, the works that I do, he shall do also. Not only that, but he's going to take it up a notch. He's going to elevate it. Greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. So he's saying, listen, I'm about to go. I'm about to sit on the right-hand side of my Father. I'm sending the Holy Ghost. And so after the Holy Ghost comes, you're going to go out and you're going to do this greater work. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about walking in the greater works. A lot of us don't understand what that is. And so that's what we're doing. So go here to Mark, the 10th chapter. And we talked about this in a little bit last time we were together. And we didn't finish it. I'm going to try. Usually when we have communion, our time gets a little short on this end. But I'm going to go as far as I can go. So we're going to go Mark, the 10th chapter. And we're going to take this to the 16th verse. Yeshua was out there doing work. And we're going to find out what these works are. But the 16th verse says, took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. See, he was dealing with multitudes of people. That is why right now in this day and age, the believer needs to be out there. People are hurting out here, y'all. People are angry out here. People are confused out here. And he needs to use us to get to those people. But if your goal is to use your power, and I've said this before, don't get offended, but it's the truth. If you're using all of this Holy Ghost power, just praying that your cell phone bill get paid and that your gas be paid, you holding up the main line. Can I say that again? If you using your power for this little penny any stuff, oh God, I gotta make sure my life is paid. What about the souls?
Come on now.
You act like you ain't sat in dark before. Some of y'all need your lights turned out because you got too much fooling just going on with you using electricity. Maybe if your life was out, you wouldn't get on that phone looking at porn and all this other kind of stuff. I'm just telling the truth. Somebody needs their lights put out. And maybe you get closer to Yahweh if you get shut down. The stuff that's supposed to be important to you, you're not even engaging. Some of us don't even know what's been happening in the news. We just lost, removed. And so if you are just praying about, oh God, cell phone bill. Oh God, get gas bill. Oh God, I got this car and I want a Rolls Royce. You serious? Tell your neighbor they holding up the main line. With that foolishness. That's some serious business that the believer needs to get on. If we're talking about greater works, then we gotta take this up a notch. It's about souls. Apostle was talking Wednesday night. He was like, when we were saved, we called ourselves half Bible, will travel. Meaning that, hey, I got my Bible. I'm ready to speak to people in the supermarket, in the fish market, while they're frying fish. You can be sharing the gospel. Bus stops. People even have Bible studies going on at work. At 12 noon, instead of going to Fatburger, you can get a room at work and hold a Bible study. Getting quiet up in here, huh? What'd you say? Keep on that Fatburger. You're about to say something about those Fatburger people. But truth is, we gotta get to the greater work. And I don't know about you, but you know, we got people worrying about stuff they ain't got no business worrying about. We got people concerned about stuff. Listen, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. And then he said, all the other stuff will be added unto you. If you focus on him first, the gas and all that other stuff will be added. The job, all that stuff. Stop holding up the main line. We got souls. They need to be saved. We got people. People are dying and they need the gospel. So that's what Yeshua did. He was taking time out with the folks, with the people, talking to people, sharing with people. And it says he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and what? Blessed them. The children. And the 17th verse says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit? What can I do to get eternal life? And then he says, 18th verse, and Yeshua said unto him, why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, and that is Yahweh. And 19th verse, he says, you asking me for something. So I'm going to find out where you are. I'm going to find out if your motives. Come on. All right. It says, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. Do you know those things? Because people say that. Well, I know the good book. Don't they say that? They say, well, I'm a good person. Have you heard? Well, I don't need to go to church. I'm a good person. What does that mean? Somebody said strange fire. 20th verse says, the dude says, hey, master, all these I've observed from my youth. So you ain't, you know, he's like, of course. That was his attitude. I know all that. There's a lot of stuff that we know, but do we do it? Do we apply it? 21st verse says what? Then Yeshua, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, because he was about to Yeshua was about to drop a bomb on him. He was about to drop a bomb on him. He said, he loved him and said unto them, there's one thing you lack. Just one thing. Let me tell you what that is. Go thy way, sell whatsoever you have, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross, follow me. This dude was rich. This dude had everything. You know, when you're going shopping sometimes, does anybody know that person that you say feel like has everything? It's like, who do I get? What do I get for the person that has everything? Does anybody know somebody like that? It seems like they got everything. Well, that person that has everything is always still trying to get more stuff. And some people live their life trying to get more stuff instead of working for the kingdom. Stuff becomes like, but they're worshiping stuff, but a lot of times people get stuff and then they don't use the stuff that they got. And you go to their house and in every corner is stacks of stuff. They're hoarding stuff that they never use. And then you go to the house and say, oh, you like that? Nah, I ain't gonna give you that. I'm gonna keep that. I might need to use that one day. Anybody know somebody like you? Everything. You just stockpiles of stuff. They always got to have the newest phone. That's not me. I go every other. See, I had an iPhone 4. I skipped the 5, and then I went to 6. I skipped the 7, and then went to the 7S, whatever that was. I didn't have to have the new one. And then I wait. Ain't no way I'm going to stand in somebody's line overnight for no phone. Some of y'all out there, I've been camped out. Camped out for stuff. Man, the stuff that we do for stuff, if we had the same attitude for the kingdom as we do for stuff, let's camp out and for some souls. We're gonna wake up early this morning and we're going to share the gospel with some people. So let's make sure that we're sleeping out here, and then in the morning time we'll be able to get as many as possible. Hey, I got an idea. When the new iPhone comes out, get some tracks and go out there to them people that ain't got nothing to do but read, because they in line, right? Isn't that a good one? Go to the iPhone store when the next one, iPhone 7 coming out. See, y'all like, ain't no takers. Do anybody want to go with us to the iPhone? I'm looking at Denise because we're about to do something radical with this gospel. I'm going to share this. Denise got this mobile truck that has a big giant platform. And so it's like a mobile platform. We can get up there, have worship service, and deliver the word, and we can take it anywhere. What are we calling our new department? CLA Radical Outreach Street Ministry. Ooh. We got it. If they won't come, we gonna take it to them. We gonna take it to the what? Streets. I tell people this all the time. The streets is begging for it. The streets is begging for the gospel. They know, because they're searching, they're looking for some comfort. They might not know what that is, but we're about to take it to them. So this dude was just accumulating stuff. And he says, take that stuff, get rid of it. Because was he asking for eternal life to just get some stuff? Treating eternal life as if it's just something else to be acquired, just something else to have, and not really willing to do what it took to obtain it, but just wanted to go up to somebody and say, well, I got eternal life. What you got? Follow me. Sometimes people just want status. They want prestige. In his mind, he might have been thinking, hey, you know what? I just want to live forever. You got people that want to look young. I'm telling the truth. They'll pay for it. Plastic surgery and all this stuff, they want to be young. They want to live forever. You 70 years old and trying to wear skinny jeans? Uh-uh. Screechers? What you? Preach it? No. What are they trying to do? They're trying to stay young. Now, you know, I cover up my gray now and then, but you know, it's just, I ain't ready for that yet. I'm going to blow y'all's mind. When I get 60, it's going to be all white. You'll be like, what happened to him? But until then, I'm using number 35. See, I love the way Scott says, you see that? You see that white, right? You see how that white just lay there like that? He got top of his. His ain't gray. It's platinum. That's what I want. I want it to come in platinum. But it's like, this dude, what are you really doing this for? And so, sure enough, 22 says what? And he was sad at that saying. He went away grieved because he had great possessions. You want eternal life, but do you really want eternal life? 23rd verse is what? And Yeshua looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of Yahweh? It's difficult for those who have riches to enter in. 25th verse says what? 25 says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. And people think that the eye of the needle is actually a needle that you use to stitch. And so people would take that and say, oh, well, my God, just because I have money, there's no way I could get through the eye of a needle and thread. So that means it's impossible. So what is God saying? He don't want me to have nothing? Well, if you read your Bible or you was enough of a truth seeker, you would study and find out that they ain't talking about no needle and thread. The eye of the needle was actually a gate in any city. The cities were walled. And so at the wall, it was a gate that you entered into about the size of those gates. I told you this last time. And for a camel to get through that door, it's difficult, but it's not impossible. Because the camel would have to bend down and you have to get the camel down on his knees. Camels are horrible. They got attitudes, right? And you have to force that camel down on his knees. But I understand, because trying to get y'all down on your knees and come to Monday night prayer is difficult too. Yes, I did. Yeah, it's difficult to get y'all to come to prayer, but guess what? It's not impossible. Same thing here. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. And 26 verse, and I'm going to get here and I'm going to let you go. And they were astonished. They were like, then who can be saved? Just those disciples, man, I don't know. They saw miracles and everything else, but then they had the nerve to have attitudes and stuff. Say stuff like this. Then who can be saved? 27 verse. And Yeshua looking upon them saith, with men, it is impossible, but not with Yahweh. For with Yahweh, all things. Does anybody know what we're talking about? 28 verse says this. And Kepha, this dude was always doing stuff. I mean, he was cutting people's ears off and all this other kind of stuff, cussing. You know, we follow, as we go through, we see that he did some crazy stuff. He He denied Yeshua, and to do that, he started cussing at this little girl. When they came to get Yeshua, the soldiers, he cutting ears off and stuff. And here he go. Then Kepha began to say unto him, lo, we left everything, and we followed you. Can you imagine? We left everything and we followed you. I love Yeshua though, 29th verse. And Yeshua answered and said, check this out. Listen to what I'm about to say to you. And I bet he said it with some conviction. He probably got up in his face. Let me tell you something. Right? And this is what Yeshua said. There is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Hold up, he ain't finished yet. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mother and children and lands. Hold up. So he's saying, yeah, you ain't been in no situation where you've given all that stuff up. Whatever you gave up, guess what? You follow me and it's coming back to you. And he's saying, not only is the stuff that you gave up coming back to you, but everything you had, you're going to get more 100-fold. But the rich dude didn't stick around long enough to hear that. Isn't that what we do? We things seem like it get hard, we give up. But if we just hang on in there, he promises, he says, you're going to receive 100-fold. This is the part I like. You ain't got to wait till you get to heaven. He says, now. He says, what? And tell your neighbor, now. Tell your neighbor right now. Right now. Right now, in this time. That means that there's some stuff that he wants to bless you with right now in this life. But you gotta hold on and be willing to give up everything to get everything for him. Not only, but there's one thing. It says, there's a little fine print. You're going to get the houses. You're going to get the brethren. You're going to get the sisters. You're going to get the mothers. You're going to get the children. You're going to get the lands with persecutions.
Come on.
With persecutions. Because any time you stand up for Yahweh, the enemy's going to try to... But he's giving you the power to overcome that. There ain't nothing that the enemy can throw at you that you cannot overcome. You've already won through the blood of Yeshua Messiah. Somebody thank him for that. Father Yahweh, we thank you for your gospel, Father. Because we know that there are things going on in the world. We understand these things. We understand that there's persecutions. We understand that there's going to be challenges in this journey. But you told us that no matter what, if we're seeking you, you'd be able to carry us through all those things. It'd be worth it in the end. So right now, Father, for those who need to be ministered to in that area, we understand that we can't get the things unless we give up the old things. We got to be willing to give up the old life. We got to be willing to give up the old way of thinking so that you can renew our minds and give us life everlasting. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, help us. Help us. Give us all the things we need to do to stand, and we'll give you the glory. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. Just really quickly, I have to acknowledge this. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about a brand new way of living. We're talking about a brand new way of life. This is a real deal. It works. If you would hear the testimonies of all the people that are sitting in this room redeemed, you would be convinced beyond measure that what he's done for them, he can do for you. If you came into this building with old life, you can leave with life brand new. And that's based upon your choice, your decision. So I'm going to open it up really quickly. I would be remiss if I did not do it. If you are looking for brand new life, if you're looking for direction, if you're looking for a new way of living, and you know, it's like, I've gone through so much. He wants to show you a brand new living way. If that's you, raise your hand and we'll pray for you today. We'll pray for you. Brand new life, brand new life, brand new life. He can do it. He can do it. Hallelujah. Maybe you have drifted away from the life. You've been baptized and you've been filled, but you've drifted away and you want to be restored back. He is the God of the second chance. If that is you, we can pray for restoration for you today. Just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. For restoration. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father Yahweh, we thank you and praise you for what you've done, what you've spoken. Those that did not raise their hands but are still dealing with making the decision, Father, continue to minister to them as they leave this place, but not your presence, Father, that they'll come back to the house of refuge and make the choice for a brand new life through you, Father. We give you the glory. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Aman and aman. Somebody say hallelujah this morning. Right. We want our ushers to come forward. If there's...